Where are we?
She asks, changing the subject. This is our home. I'll renovate and decorate it. I knew you wanted to live somewhere secluded, and when I saw this, I used the money Mom gave me to buy it. We live here now. I know neither of us want kids, but if you ever do, there are spare rooms I can decorate. I'll even get a dog if you... She grabs my hands to stop me and I furrow my brows.
Malachi.
She says, her face going ghastly pale.
I don't want to live here.
I pull my hands free. Do you want to live somewhere else? I can sell, it's fine. We can be together wherever you want.
No.
She moves off me.
I mean, I don't want to live here with you or anywhere with you. What's happened since the festival doesn't change the fact you nearly killed Dad. I don't forgive you for that.
My heart sinks. Why?
Why?
She asks, a tear slipping down her cheek.
Are you really asking me that? Because I don't love you. No, Malachi.
You don't love me. I stutter the words, but I don't fucking care. She's a liar. She's lying, and I refuse to fucking take it. I get off the bed and walk over to my combats, pulling my phone out. It takes me less than 5 seconds to find one of the voicemails she left me, and I play it while she sits up on the bed, sniffles, and then...
Malachi, where are you?
She sobs, as if hyperventilating.
I can't find you anywhere. Mom said you were released a few weeks ago. Why haven't you come for me?
She's crying, and I watch as her frown flattens, her shoulders hunching as she listens to herself, and she looks away as the voicemail keeps playing.
I'm so, so sorry I didn't protect you. I should have told everyone what you meant to me, and I didn't. I was scared of the backlash, and everyone said you were vulnerable and that you were sick. That your obsession with me was down to you wanting to own something. Someone. Me. And I was scared they were right. I want to know if anything was ever real for you. Any of it. If you tell me you love me, then I mean the world to you, then I'll admit that I feel the exact same. Because I do, Malachi. I love you so much it hurts.
I shut off the voicemail and step forward, my body shaking with rage. It was real. All of it was real. Everything was real. You mean the world to me. But you won't say it back, will you? She lowers her head and shakes it, and I feel like my entire world just collapsed. Olivia's slipping through my fingers. What the fuck do I do? I am sorry. I say, fucking up the enunciation, but who the fuck cares? The spider, the knife, the cameras, all of it. I'm sorry. I close my eyes and blow out a breath. I need you. Oh. I stop. My heart racing so fast, I think it might stop.
I don't need you.
She murmurs, and I feel like I've been stabbed in the chest.
I'm getting married soon, Malachi. I signed an agreement. I can't back out. I won't. We have no chance in this life. Don't you see?
She stands and I gulp and step back as she wraps the duvet around her body.
Society would never accept us.
I grip the phone in my hand. Fuck society. I don't think my words have ever been clearer than right now. Fuck everyone against us.
You don't even know how to love properly. Your diagnosis proves that. Why would I give up a marriage for someone who can never feel the same way about me?
I stay quiet because she's right. My version of love isn't enough for her. I love her. I do. But how am I supposed to know what's normal and what's not? My world revolves around her, and always has. And if that's not a good enough version of love for her, and I can't make her happy, then what's the point? She goes through the dresser, shaking her head when she sees it's filled with clothes I bought for her over the last few months. She puts on underwear, slides yoga pants on, then grabs some other items. She pulls on a shirt, buttons it up to her neck to hide the marks I gave her, then sits on the edge of the bed as she fixes her hair over her shoulder and puts on some socks. I stay against the wall, my hands behind me, and try to think of everything possible to make her stay. Willingly. I want Olivia to choose me.
Please choose me. Nobody ever chooses me.
She stands, slips on her shoes, and wipes under her eyes.
I won't tell anyone I saw you,
she says, her head down.
Mom will want to know where I've been the last few days, so I'll need to lie and make up a story. If you let me leave, I'll forget this ever happened. Don't be difficult about this, Malachi. I'm leaving one way or another.
I can't answer. I just look at the ground as she moves towards me, then stops.
Goodbye, Malachi. Please take care of yourself. Please.
Something weird is happening to me. My chest is sore, and my eyes feel immense pressure, and they're wet. I think I might be crying for the first time in my life. She opens the door, but I rush in front of her, blocking her exit as I drop to my knees and grab her hands. Olivia, I whisper clearly, please don't leave me. Please stay with me. Her sadness is all over her face. She's looking at me like I'm the one breaking her heart, her eyes following a tear as it slides down my cheek. Please accept my version of love, please. Please, I love you all. Olivia doesn't tell me she loves me back, or that she'll stay. She just gives me a warm smile and pulls her hand away before squeezing past me. I don't turn around to watch her walk out of my life for good.
Epilogue. Olivia. 2 weeks later. I don't recognize the person looking back at me as I stare at my reflection. My bloodshot eyes are sunken, the makeup doing nothing to make me look like less of a zombie. Getting zero sleep and crying all night will do that to a person, I guess. Mom steps in front of me, her expressionless face like stone as she fixes the curls on each side of my face. Her hands are shaking, the only sign she's feeling anything at all, as she prepares me for my future husband. After all, She's been planning this day since she adopted me. She just had to find someone rich enough. A member of the elite. Lucky me. The white dress is hanging from a large rack. A corset with two skirts. One for length and another. An overskirt for volume, which will make it so puffy that I'm definitely going to struggle to walk. The itchy silk PJs my sister made me wear say Team Bride, and I can't wait to burn them. I've managed to hide the marks Malachi left on my body with concealer, but I can feel them everywhere. They're reminders of what I'm leaving behind, even though I want to run to him. Please don't leave me. Please stay with me. I don't want to do this. I tell Mom quietly. Don't make me marry Xander. She grins at me, but it's fake. Her eyes shine like glass. We've already signed the agreement, sweetheart. Xander is a very wealthy man who'll look after you. I fight against the twist in my gut. Why do you think my hair is blonde now? He's a controlling ass. He thinks I need to lose weight and says I'm to stay silent unless spoken to. He's a sexist pig who needs his balls chopped off. Her hands, which have been fixing my newly dyed hair, pause. I think she's about to scold me for my language, but asks, "He said that?" "Yes," I reply. "I have the text messages to prove it. He keeps sending me links to weight loss tablets, and even implied he'd pay for breast implants and a nose job." Molly chimes in. "I'd take the bigger boobs." "Shut up, you're 14. Mom lowers her eyes. "There's no way for us to back out. I'm sorry." "Then tell them the agreement is void. I don't want to marry him. I'll run away or put a bullet in my head. Tell him I have an STD or that I'm pregnant with another man's child. Anything."
That's dramatic, Olivia.
"Better than being in an abusive marriage. You're sending me away to get beat up for opening my mouth, then get trampled on when I don't open my legs for him."
"Xander is a nice boy," she says blandly. "He isn't a boy. He's older than me, and he's an asshole."
My sister hums. "I don't like him either," she says, crossing her arms and popping out her hip. "I vote we ditch here and go for ice cream." My hand raises.
"I second that." Mom rolls her eyes. "Stop it, both of you. We just need to get through this day."
Her voice falters at the end.
"I'm sorry. I really am. My hands are tied here.
Can't Dad do something?" She gives me a stern look.
"Keep your father out of this. I mean it."
I flatten my lips. "As soon as I walk down the aisle, you and me are done, Mom. I'll never speak to you again."
"Oh, come on, Olivia. You're 26 years old. Act like it."
I take a deep breath, wanting to hurt her, to hit deep where it will haunt her. She's selling me to a monster, so the least I can do is ruin her day. "I was with Malachi when you were trying to call me."
"What do you mean you were with him?"
"I mean, I was with him." I need to at least keep it PG, since my teen sister is listening in, and she isn't aware of the ins and outs of his imprisonment. Not fully. "And I don't regret one second of it." Her eyes widen.
"What?"
she sputters, looking for her words.
"He nearly killed your father. You're engaged. He's your brother, Olivia."
"I'm aware of our position and what he's done," I grit. "He lost control.
I won't defend him for attacking Dad, but we aren't related by blood, so no laws have been broken. You can't stop me from loving him.
God, that felt so good to say. A weight instantly lifts from my chest, and warmth gathers around my heart. I'm in love with Malachi, I say more firmly, more to myself, and Molly squeals with a hand clapped over her mouth. My heart rate picks up. I hope he's down there waiting for me, and I hope he stops this wedding. I hope he saves me from Xander, since you're not doing shit to protect me. You've sold me my entire life. You sold my virginity. How cold can you be? She grips her necklace. I was doing what I thought was best for you and the family. I was protecting you. Bullshit. The only one who ever protected me was Malachi. There's a knock at the door, and all three of us turn to see Dad pushing it open, then rolling his wheelchair in. He pauses when he sees me, something passing through his eyes that I can't quite put my finger on. Sadness?
May I speak with Olivia, privately?
Mom and Molly leave, but not before the latter leans in and kisses my cheek. I should be totally grossed out that you have a crush on our foster brother, but I'm not. I think he'll show up. My face heats, and I smile at her. I don't think I'll be that lucky. She shrugs. We'll see. As she skips out, she ruffles our father's hair and dodges him slapping her hand away, both of them laughing. The door closes, and I take a deep breath. I don't want this.
I can tell. It's written all over your face. Why don't you want to marry Xander?
My shoulders slump. He's horrible, Dad.
The real reason,
he counters. I freeze, not blinking as my hands fist. He really is horrible. I was just telling Mom how he's already speaking to me like crap.
Has he hurt you?
I shake my head. I think he will, though. He sent a team to my apartment to dye my hair 2 days ago. He said I was too dull, and he made them completely change my wardrobe. His nostrils flare.
Anything else?
My bottom lip trembles. Admitting to him that his attacker is the one who owns my heart is the ultimate betrayal. But something tells me he already knows. He clears his throat and rolls forward a little.
You can tell me.
I love him, I say, the words broken in my throat as a tear slips down my cheek. Malachi. The fact his expression doesn't budge tells me a lot. I know it's wrong to you. I know that I shouldn't be in love with someone I call my brother, but I can't help it. I've loved him since forever. I can't remember a time when I haven't been in love with him. Even when I testified, I regretted it instantly. I turned my back on him when he was vulnerable. I've been living in a nightmare ever since. Nodding, he sighs.
Ah, he's sick, Olivia. He isn't capable of making you happy.
But he does make me happy. I shake my head. He nearly killed you, and I still can't fall out of love with him. My face crumples as I let it all out. I'm such a horrible daughter.
You're human. Come here, angel.
I move forward, crouching down so he can take my hand.
I'm going to get you out of this. Not necessarily so you can run into your Malachi's arms, but I want you to be free from this life. Your mother, she's insistent on power and traditions. She signed the agreement without my knowledge.
What happens if I don't marry Xander?
I really don't know. We can figure this all out after the ceremony. His family is quite dangerous. I don't want you getting hurt if a war breaks out.
He's going to hurt me regardless. After the ceremony?
He'll drag me to the honeymoon suite and violently fuck me. No thanks. I'll happily throw myself from the roof before he can get anywhere near me. Death is a better option. I take a deep breath, not seeing any other way around this unless it's me in a body bag. I'll go, but please help me divorce him, and promise you won't let Mom control Molly the way she controlled me growing up. My voice drops firmer. Promise me.
I promise. I promise to do everything in my power to protect you and your sister.
After a minute of me crying, he wipes under my eyes with a napkin. Are you mad at me? I ask. Because of how I feel about Malachi?
I could never be mad at you. Am I dumbfounded by your decision on who you want to be with? Certainly. You really do see the good in him.
I nod.
I can try to forgive him. From what I know from the PIs I have following him, he started therapy 2 weeks ago.
Wait, Dad had private investigators following Malachi? Does he already know I was with him then? Perhaps Malachi dodged them, or whoever he hired is terrible at their job, because he technically kidnapped me. So you already knew I was...
I didn't tell your mother, and I knew he wouldn't hurt you. I pulled my PI away soon after he spoke to you on his motorbike.
Despite the internal panic, my chest tightens. You said he started therapy?
Yes, Angel. He sees a speech-language pathologist now, too. He inquired the day you returned home, and I made sure he was seen the following day. That tells me he's trying to be better. We wanted this for him for years. He's even been prescribed medication.
He never wanted to be medicated. He liked being in control.
He was never in control. He was just really good at hiding it.
Someone knocks on the door, informing us that the groom is impatiently waiting for his bride. I stand, and Dad looks up at me.
I want to try to make amends, but it won't be instant. He turned my life upside down.
He gestures to his chair.
I don't think I can forgive him easily.
If he's trying, could you try too? I wipe under my eyes and breathe. For me, please. I know it's selfish to ask, but what else do I do? I'm about to be dragged away from this life. As Xander oh so nicely put it when he stood at my door last night, and told me we are moving to Canada for his new business deal next week. If Malachi at least has Dad on his side, maybe he'll be okay. Maybe, with support around him, he'll adjust. Dad nods, then tells me to take a few minutes to calm down, and meet at the entrance of the hall where the ceremony is being held. The door closes with a click, and I glance around the empty room. My future is waiting for me. A cruel, horrid fate. Why didn't I stay with him in that farmhouse in the woods? Why didn't I kiss him and admit that I'm madly in love with him? Are you watching me? I ask out loud. Silence. I turn on the spot, searching for a camera. Are you planning on stopping the wedding? Please, 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 Malachi. I'm sorry. Tears slide down my cheeks. There aren't any shadows hiding in the corner either. I should have chosen you. Of every mistake I've made in my life, not choosing Malachi has been my worst. He begged me on his knees with tears in his eyes. Something I never thought I'd witness. And I walked away from him. I didn't fight. I didn't even try to make it work between us. Malachi, despite all his craziness, deserves better than me. Mom won. She groomed me for this day, and being the obedient daughter, I'm too scared to disappoint her. to ruin her plans after she saved me from my old life. That's all I can think about as I pull on my dress and stare at myself in the floor-to-ceiling mirror. I should be crying with happiness, excited yet nervous, impatiently waiting to spend the rest of my life with the man I love. But I'm not. 10 minutes later, the train of my wedding dress drags down the grand staircase as my dad waits at the bottom, clutching his walking stick as he rises from his wheelchair. It'll keep him on his feet until he's done walking me up the aisle. He smiles when he sees me in my dress, the one Mom made me wear even though I said I hated it. Everyone is waiting for me. My future husband, who's probably forgotten my name, and my future family, who cares more about status than anything else. Molly is one of my bridesmaids. She joined the family not long after Malachi was sent to prison. At first, the courts were unsure whether to place her in my family's care, but she's had a blast with us. She wishes she'd met Malachi. She's aware he's a little insane and violent, that he beat up Dad, but she thinks he blacked out, that it wasn't deliberate. She said he looked like he'd be a fun big brother from the pictures I showed her. And I admit, he really was a fun brother growing up. We did everything together. Set aside all the things we shouldn't have been doing, he was also my best friend. Those 8 years without him were torture. But the last 2 weeks? Hell. He broke into my apartment the day after I walked away from him and took all the cameras out. He left a note telling me he'd drawn a mustache on Mom's face months ago, and I should wipe it, and that all my wine bottles are spiked. He turned his phone off, disconnected it. As much as I can't be with him, I think I would have loved it if he was watching me. But I know he isn't anymore. He's just gone. There hasn't even been any communication between us. I made the wrong decision. Now I can't do anything but hook my arm through my dad's and walk.
You look beautiful. I promise to get you out of this arrangement. Just smile and stay calm.
I try to smile and fail. I don't look up as we approach the double doors. There's music playing on the other side. I halt, taking a deep breath as "Here Comes the Bride" starts, and the doors open to reveal everyone seated in their chairs. I scan them, looking for black hair, a smirk, a cheeky grin, or a wink. But he isn't here. I wish he was, though.
Breathe, Angel.
I make it halfway down the aisle before my lungs give up and the panic sets in. I stop abruptly, my dad nearly tripping over his walking stick, and I look up at him. I can't do this.
Olivia.
A stern voice comes, and I look up to find Xander glaring at me.
Walk towards me now.
I turn to Dad. Please let me go. He looks lost, glancing between me and Mom. Xander's family members are glaring at me like I'm a spoiled brat. Abigail, Molly, and Anna are standing beside Xander in their bridesmaid dresses, none of them looking shocked, more pleased than anything. Xander shakes his head.
Keep fucking walking, Olivia. Don't embarrass me.
Molly scowls at him. Mom steps away from her seat. And for the first time in forever, she doesn't force me to keep going. She sighs and nods at me.
Go,
Dad says, kissing my cheek.
We'll deal with them. Be happy, Angel.
I drop the overpriced flowers I'm carrying and grab the front of my dress, turning and running out of there. I leave my heels where they slip off and yank my veil off as I rush out of the front entranceway. I spin and look around for him, but I can't see him. Malachi! I yell, unclipping the band around my waist to rid myself of the overskirt, leaving it where it falls as I run towards the gates, pushing out of them and gasping for air as I flag down a cab and give them directions to the place he took me at Halloween. His house. Ours. Something I walked away from. My body shakes uncontrollably as I watch the town disappear and be replaced by trees. How far away is it? 10 minutes go by. 20. 50. An hour. I only know the address because I had to call a cab when I left him, and the driver was able to locate me. I climb out of the car as soon as I reach my destination, and stop when I see Malachi standing by the metal gate, disbelief written all over his face as he pushes it open and takes a step towards me. He's topless, face and chest glistening post-workout, black hair wild and curly, with a pair of sweats sitting low on his hips. Malachi has been the one for me since forever. He's my forever, my heaven and hell.
Olivia.
So clear and pure and full of love. I laugh out a cry and run at him, launching myself into his strong arms that instantly wrap around me. His eyes are wide, searching my face and lifting to my blonde hair.
What?
You're mine, Malachi. You're mine, and I'm yours, and I love you more than words can explain. Please forgive me. Please. I want you. I want to be with you, build a life with you, and make memories with you. I want to wake up every morning with you by my side. I want you to chase me through these woods and take me against a tree. I want everything you have to give. All of it. Everything. Because I choose you. I... Malachi kisses me into silence. It's a claiming kiss that takes my breath away. He grins against my lips.
I love you, Olivia.
I giggle and wrap my legs around his waist, my face sore from how hard I'm smiling. I love you, too. Will you take me inside our home and show me how much you love me? He shakes his head and drops me to my feet.
I want to rip that fucking dress from your body, then make you bleed all over it.
Butterflies are going wild inside me, my chest rising and falling with anticipation. I dare you, I tease. I dare you to chase me and make me beg for it. Malachi groans and snatches my jaw, pressing a harsh kiss to my mouth, before shoving me back, grinning and gesturing to the woods.
Run, little stranger. Extended epilogue. Malachi. She vanishes into the forest, that fucking dress clinging to her skin, the dress that'll be ripped from her body as soon as I catch her. I'll let her run, get worked up, and put some fear and paranoia into her before I claim what's rightfully mine. I inhale, my nostrils flaring as I tamp down my rage at the thought of her marrying someone else. I was giving her space to think about her choice while still watching from afar. I'd planned to hang the bastard with his own tie on their wedding night, or kick the door of their honeymoon suite off its hinges and blow his fucking head off for even thinking he could have Olivia. She's mine. She's been mine since the moment we met. And she'll remain my goddamn property. I'll be the one who keeps her safe, holds her hand when she's scared, fucks her when she needs my cock. I'll kiss her and remind her that I'm not her real brother, I'm not a sibling with any blood relation. I've accepted I'm sick because I fucking love when she calls me her brother while she's taking my cock like the best little sister there is. The world can fuck off, and our family can just deal with us being together. I walk back into the house. In just 14 days, I've got it almost fully renovated. Sleeping has been a struggle, so I needed the distraction, something to keep my hands busy while I watched the monitors lining one of my walls. I pull open the toolbox and smirk when I see the screwdriver. I study the bulb handle, flip it in my hand twice, then slam the box shut. Above the fireplace, a picture of us is cradled in a frame I made from one of the trees I cut down. She's smiling at me while I'm trying to push her face away. I remember she'd just whispered something filthy in my ear. Probably something to do with our lessons. The lessons. Is it possible for me to talk her into teaching me like before? I'll happily act the innocent brother while she forces me to my knees and tells me how to eat her pussy again. I was never clueless. Inexperienced, yes, but never clueless. I'd watched porn with my cock in my hand and felt unsatisfied, yet I'd watched and watched. I'd stayed hidden within her bedroom while she made herself come, learning from the shadows what she likes. Being a virgin at 19 didn't bother me. There was something more important than fucking anyone who threw themselves at me. Olivia was more important. I knew to wait. I knew that one day, even if we were in our fucking 30s, I'd bury my cock in my sister and make her moan my name so damn loud. I'd have the sound in my ears until the day I died. I've never been afraid of dying. It's inevitable. But the thought of dying and leaving Olivia behind, of leaving her with all the poisonous toxicity in the world, that terrifies me. She can't trust anyone, especially not Mom. But she can trust me. She can always trust me. I push open the back door and glance out into the forest. It's been 10, maybe 15 minutes. She'll be panicking now that the sun is starting to set and night is nearing. Pretty soon she won't be able to see much. Why does that make me uneasy? I grip the screwdriver and crack my neck from side to side, still feeling the touch of her kiss on my lips. I need more. My eyes flicker around my surroundings as I walk slowly out of the backyard. I still need to fix it up. There's a half-built motorbike, a project my therapist thinks will help me focus, and supplies I ended up not using while doing the house. I push open the small, creaky metal gate and pause, listening. But all I can hear are the rustling leaves as the wind picks up and the drizzle of rain starting to hit the canopy of the trees. A storm is coming.
Tell me, Olivia,
I say. My words are still a little messy, but clearer, since all I've been doing is talking to myself and a speech therapist for the last 2 weeks.
When you got into that dress, did you imagine him peeling it off? Did you put on a lace garter for him to take off with his teeth?
I'm annoying myself with my words. I'm getting angry, but I can't stop.
Did he touch you?
My voice is low, a threat, and I think my heart might beat out of my chest at the thought of anyone putting their hands on her. I've already dealt with the others who dared to go near her when I was locked up. Thankfully and luckily, I made sure I'd never get caught and sent back to prison.
He'd never make you feel the way I do.
No one could ever make her feel the way I do. Ever. And if they do, I'll kill them. I hear a branch snapping in the distance, and instead of running straight for her, I taunt her some more.
You cried for me. My steps are slow, calculated, my fingers wrapping tightly around the screwdriver handle as I edge closer to where she is. I watched you, I say louder, my eyes on the darkness ahead of me, knowing she's hiding behind a large tree trunk. You had no idea I was right there, waiting. Always fucking waiting for you, Olivia. The rain gets heavier, soaking me, drops falling from the strands of hair hanging over my forehead. It's your turn to wait, little sister. I hope it kills you. I hope you're shaking in your wedding dress, wondering when I'll grab you from the shadows and fuck you against a tree. My cock strains against my shorts, fucking aching to get inside her. I'll take your beautiful mouth first, then I'll bury myself deep in your ass. There's a whimper and I smirk. I like it when you're scared, fighting me like you could actually win. You never had a chance of beating me, Olivia. I up my pace as I hear more branches snapping. She's running. I flip the screwdriver in my palm. As soon as I see the flash of white from her wedding dress, I start chasing her. I grip my teeth and dodge branches, ducking as she stops and tries to throw one at me, missing me by an inch. She screams and turns to run again. I spot the smile on her face. My darling sister is nearly as sadistic as me. She likes to be hunted and caught and fucked. She once told me she wanted to be chased through a graveyard, but unfortunately this forest will have to do. I'll chase her in here every day for the rest of our lives. The forest edge comes into sight. There's a small drop to a river ahead. Will she jump? My heart ricochets in my chest as I stop fucking around and properly chase her. I catch up to her in no time, grabbing a fistful of her hair and dragging her off her feet. She screams and rips her nails into the skin of my wrist, kicking her heels into my shins. I push her chest against the closest tree and hold her there with one hand while I put the screwdriver between my teeth, yanking at the back of her dress hard enough to rip it. She whimpers, her hands still slapping at my wrists to get herself free. I love the fight. I pull at the dress again, splitting the material to the small of her back, then reach forward and pinch her hard, pebbled nipple and twist. Her knees buckle, but my hold on her hair keeps her upright. I found you. I'm never letting you go now. I tear more at her dress, making the material fall down her legs and pool at her feet. You're mine.
And you're mine.
She breathes, pushing her ass against me. I grin and turn her around, grabbing her jaw. Yours. You promise you won't run away again? I'll chase you. Olivia takes my thumb into her mouth and sucks on it. I press down on her tongue and push until I feel her throat contract. Such a good little sister. My dick is begging to fuck her, to free it from my pants and shove it into her, but I keep my thumb in her mouth and use my hold to bring her to her knees. Take my cock out, I demand, pulling my thumb from her mouth and dragging her bottom lip down. I want these lips around it. The rain trickles through the canopy, droplets falling on her face as she looks up at me while reaching for my waistband. She curls her fingers into the material and pulls, my cock springing free. Her eyes flicker back up to me as she wraps her fingers around my thickness, and I glare at the engagement ring on her finger. I snatch her wrist and pull the piece of junk off, scowling at it. The only time you ever wear a ring like this is when I put one there. Do you understand? She nods.
Yes.
I fist it in my palm and launch it through the forest, not giving a fuck where it goes, then grab a handful of her hair and force my cock into her mouth. She gags around it, taking half before she wraps her fingers around me again, swallowing around my swollen crown. My eyes roll as she sucks, bobbing her head as I let go of her and press both my hands to the tree behind her. Fuck. Your mouth feels so good, Olivia. The praise makes her go faster, sucking harder, using her tongue to massage around the tip and taking more of me. I hit the back of her throat and take over, holding the back of her head as I thrust in and out. She gasps as I pull free. I'm coming inside you, I tell her, pushing her to lie down on her dress. Part your legs. Let me see what I own. Her legs open, showing me her pretty little pussy, which is covered with a scrap of soaked fabric. Her eyes widen as I pick up the screwdriver I dropped as I lower to my knees between her legs.
Wait.
She hesitates, leaning up on her elbows. I grasp at her inner thigh and move the handle over the material, rubbing upwards to her clit. You want me to stop? Her lips part, and then there's a slight shake of her head. My girl is so damn brave. When I lean down and drag my tongue against her pussy, she moans and drops fully onto her back again. I suck on her clit through her underwear, biting and ripping the fabric to make a hole. I close my eyes and savor the taste of her. All mine. She cries out as I force my tongue inside her. Then I pull my face away and push the handle of the screwdriver in as far as it can go, chewing my bottom lip and watching her pussy swallow the handle. Olivia's soaked, throbbing, needy little pussy. She tries to crush her legs together when I press my mouth to her clit again, moaning, fisting her fingers into my hair and tugging. She's so perfect. I'm starting to think this is all a dream. Maybe I'm still in prison and imagining all this. That's fine. As long as I never wake up, I'm good to stay in this bubble with her. She screams, her back arching as I start thrusting the screwdriver. Knowing her orgasm is coming, I trap her clit between my teeth and pull the screwdriver out, dropping it so I can push two fingers inside her. Her inner walls clutch me as I curl them, then fuck her hard and fast with them while I feast on her clit. Her orgasm hits, and her screams echo through the woods. The sound is enough to drive me insane. I pull away completely, shove down my shorts and briefs, and position myself between her legs. I grab her face. You left me for 8 years, and then you left me again. There won't be a third time, Olivia.
Never.
She says desperately, rolling her hips so the tip of my cock is pushing through her entrance and making her whimper.
Please, Malachi.
Are you sorry? She nods.
I am. I'm so, so, so sorry. I love you. I've always loved you.
My nose grazes hers as I lower my face, kissing her softly. I take her bottom lip between mine, sucking lightly, then I do the same with the top. Will you marry me?
Yes.
She moans as I push into her, feeling her walls strangling my cock, her orgasm still lingering.
Yes. A million times yes. We'll find a way.
Fuck. This is really happening. Olivia is mine. Her eyes roll as I rock into her, the dress getting dirty and soaked from both the rain and Olivia's pussy. I go deeper, kissing her harder, needing to stay in this moment forever. Her legs wrap around me as I thrust, my spine already tingling with the tightening heat building in my balls. She moves with me, meeting each thrust, kissing me, loving me the way I always wanted to be loved. Our foreheads touch and our bare chests rub together, her breasts and hard nipples trapped between us.
I love you.
She whispers in my ear, taking my lobe between her teeth.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm so sorry I wasn't strong enough, but I am now. Please forgive me.
My balls tighten, my muscles tensing everywhere as she starts moaning louder, another orgasm washing over her as her eyes glaze over and her grip on my body turns painful. Her nails sink into my skin as she cries, whimpers, fucking begs me to stay with her. Not that I'd ever leave her. After I fill her with every drop of my cum, I stay inside her for far too long. She's shaking, trembling from coming so hard. I keep my head on her shoulder, and her hand strokes up and down my back as she tells me over and over that I'm hers. I straighten my arms, sliding out of her. She grins up at me, tears in her eyes.
You might need to carry me home.
I laugh, kissing her. She giggles as I stand and pull her up into my arms, holding her to my chest as we leave the dress, screwdriver, and my sweats in the forest while I carry her to the house. She doesn't take her eyes off me. When we get inside, I run us a bath. We lie in it until the water goes cold, reminiscing about the times we shared growing up. After we eat, I take her to bed and make love to her. I've never made love before. I had no idea what it felt like. I've fucked Olivia, I've claimed her, ruined her in ways a brother shouldn't, but I've never made love to her. It's different. Slow. Sensual. I didn't know I could love her more, but I do. Everything is heightened as I take her in our bed. She flips us so she's on top, and even the way she's riding me is slow, emotional, and I can't take my fucking eyes off her. After we both finish, we lie in each other's arms. There's no other shoe dropping. There's no pause while we wait for something bad to happen. Is this what it's like to be happy? I like it. Surely our parents will understand.
I'm worried about what Xander will do.
I narrow my eyes. He won't get near you. I'll deal with him.
You're starting to get your life back, Malachi. You were in prison for nearly a decade. Please don't get involved in this. I shouldn't have brought it up. Xander isn't in my life, and he never will be. Just be with me and forget the world. Please?
A muscle in my jaw ticks. You can't ask me to do that, Olivia. From the moment I met you, I swore to myself I'd protect you. I've done a fucking shitty job of that so far, so I'm not going to sit around knowing he's out there and a threat. She's scared of him. I should do something about that. I couldn't protect my mother from all the drug dealers and addicts who were constantly in and out of my house. All I could do was hide under my bed with my pet spider who never wanted to talk back to me. Every day and night, we would hide under my bed. He was my best friend, but he never ever spoke. So why would I? He was happy without using his voice. I could be happy as well. He was my comforter, my protector. If he could conceal his voice and be brave enough to hide under my bed and not cry, then I could too. It was the start of the new me. They wanted to hear me scream while they pushed the needle into my arm, so I didn't. I was starved, thin, weak. But at least I had power over my speech. They wouldn't take that from me, too, because I hid it somewhere only Olivia could find it. They wanted to hear me beg them to save my mom. Then I couldn't. Just like what happened with Spikey 8 years ago. They killed my spider. They thought it was funny to make me watch while my bio mom was dying on the floor. I couldn't save her, but I can save Olivia. She grabs my face.
No, Malachi.
Yes, Malachi. It's fine. She doesn't need to know when I remove him from the equation. She'll see the reports that he's missing, and by then the issue will be solved. She can yell at me while I fuck her.
Promise me you won't do anything that will get you into trouble. Dad can fix it all.
Tell me what you want in life. I change the subject and lower my head, kissing the tip of her nose. Tell me so I can give it to you.
I just want you.
I smirk down at her. That's all.
My whole life, Mom has pushed marriage on me to the point that it holds no meaning to me. Unless I'm marrying you. And kids? I've never imagined myself as a mother. I think I'd be terrible at it. But...
She raises her shoulder shyly.
Maybe one day.
My smile drops. I'd give her anything she wanted but a kid. What if they're just like me? Her brow furrows.
There's nothing wrong with you.
You really think that? Even I know there's a lot wrong with me. That's why I decided to go to therapy. The meds are a little intense, but I can manage them. I'd do anything to be normal enough for Olivia. My therapist said I have a lot to work on, but I'll change. I promise. She grins, wrapping her arms around my neck and bringing my face to hers to whisper.
I love everything about you. I never want you to change.
I kiss her, the only girl I've ever imagined giving my heart to. It might be a little black, a little jagged around the edges, and my mind might be a little wild, but she owns them. Olivia owns my mind, body, and soul. She did when we were kids, when we were teens, when we were giving in and letting go. Even when I had her chained up in the basement, she had a hold over me. I had it in my head that I wanted revenge on her. I now know I just wanted her back. And guess fucking what? I got her back. She chose me. Olivia actually chose me. And I intend to keep her. The end. Or is it?
Thank you for listening to Little Stranger, written by Lee Rivers, narrated by Heather Firth and Joe Arden. Produced by Blue Nose Audio. Production coordination by Abby Gillick. Engineering by Michael Kinsey. Proofing by Olivia Grace. Follow Lee Rivers on Instagram or TikTok at Author Lee Rivers, or go to authorleerivers.wixsite.com/authorleerivers to find out more and stay up to date with upcoming titles. Copyright 2024 by Lee Rivers and Blue Nose Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.